Welcome to the Canadian Transportation Equipment Association's On the Radar podcast. We're at an interesting moment in U.S.-Canada trade relations. U.S. President Joe Biden is heading into the home stretch of his first term in office. Biden and the Democrat-controlled Senate face a possibly hostile Republican-dominated House. Will this lead to a more protectionist attitude in Washington? Will America's souring relations with China create new opportunities for Canadian business? In just a moment, Don Moore and Washington-based international trade expert Bridget Matheson of the law firm Arndt Fox Scheff examine Canada's position in this complex and sometimes messy relationship. Now here's your host, Don Moore.
Welcome to our first podcast of the Canadian Transportation Equipment Association. My name is Don Moore, and I'm Director of Government and Industry Relations for the Association. And today I have Bridget Matheson of Arndt Fox Scheff in Washington, D.C. with me, and we're going to talk about international trade, and in particular, U.S. and China, and really try to get our heads around one question, and that's how does a superpower trade relationship affect Canada? And so, welcome, Bridget.
Thank you very much, Don. I'm delighted to be here.
It's something that I know I've been looking forward to with our first podcast. And this is a particularly timely topic with things happening today.
Absolutely. I was going to say the same thing. It couldn't have been better timed.
Well, having said that, let's start off with taking a look at the current scenario. We've got the 117th Congress in the U.S. Will soon be sworn in, and now that we have a House Speaker, and the Senate's going to be Democrat, the House is Republican, the White House is Democrat. So what does that mean to U.S. trade policy for the next few years leading up to the next general election?
Yeah. So, Don, first of all, thank you very, very much for having me on your very first podcast. I'm really quite honored. I take these issues from the same perspective that I did when I was working on the trade policy team at the Embassy of Canada. For those of your listeners who do not know me, I'm a Montrealer. I just also happen to live here in the U.S. But I've spent my entire career looking at the U.S. market and trade policy and how it affects Canadian companies doing business here. To answer your question specifically, the next 2 years will be the last 2 years of the Biden administration. The next federal election here in the U.S. is going to be in 2024. I say that only because the political partisan gears are already working at overtime speed to the 2024 calendar. So what the next 2 years is likely to hold in terms of U.S. trade policy is going to be more of the same of the last 2 years, and frankly, more of the same of the former administration as well. There is a very concerted focus on U.S. domestic manufacturing, electric vehicles being a very top agenda item and a very good example. And so what does that mean? It means a lot of money flushing in the system, a lot of procurement opportunities, a lot of tax credits, tax breaks for domestic manufacturing, et cetera, et cetera. But it also means U.S. concerns about competitiveness, and that brings into the conversation, of course, China. And I think most of the issues need to be seen through the prism of U.S. concerns about China's dominance in certain industries. If that is the case, competitiveness, a lot of domestic public monies swishing around the system will also mean far more trade enforcement, import enforcement, and import scrutiny at the borders. And Canada, like any other trading partner, is unlikely to be exempted or immune from that.
Okay, so what can we expect based on that that sort of outline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because of the turmoil in the U.S. House of Representatives in the last few days, we can already see the writing on the wall, frankly. On the Hill in Congress, there's going to be a lot of finger pointing, to no surprise to any of your listeners. But it also means that it is highly unlikely that there will be any important trade legislation, continuation of any free trade agreement negotiations. I'm thinking Japan, I'm thinking EU. It'll really be a standstill Congress, except for the oversight committees and investigation committees, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of turmoil. And so when that is the case, such as the former administration, rulemaking from the executive branch, sometimes companies just need to read the fine print of what the rule is in a law. When there's turmoil like this, the administration lacks the congressional leadership to write those rules, to know exactly what Congress wanted. That's one of my biggest fears in terms of trade policy for the next 2 years. We have a lot of unfinished business.
Well, that kind of leads into the next question nicely, which is, you know, what unfinished business do we have from that 116th Congress and the last administration?
Right. I think for CTEA members, there's, I think, my list of five that I jotted down before this call, not in any particular order, depending on your members and what they do and what they sell in the U.S. and where they buy their raw materials from. But generally speaking, the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative in the executive branch still needs to tell the world, tell the trade community, whether the U.S. Special 301 tariffs on imports from China will continue. And those are double-digit tariffs. And they need to tell us whether they will have a tariff exclusion process as they did in the first 4 years. Why do CTA members care? Because those 301 tariffs also apply to products that are transshipped into the U.S. One very simple scenario, CTEA member makes a, let's just say, chassis. It buys the component parts from the Europe assembles it somewhere in China. They bring it back to Europe, send it to Canada. The member company in Canada does something to the chassis, sells it to the United States. That chassis that's imported in the United States, that finished product, is going to be subject, if it contains certain products and components, to those 301 tariffs. There's an extraterritoriality application, Don, to a lot of these U.S. trade enforcement efforts. The other one would be U.S. forced labor legislation, very much focused on certain regions of China, other countries as well. But during the 116th, there was some important legislation that now gives U.S. Customs the authority to outright ban imports that they suspect is being used or was being used in China from certain regions. Automotive parts and transportation parts are part of that that priority list that U.S. Customs is watching, again, including parts that have been transshipped from a third country.
So they could actually just stop it at the border. Like it's,
yes,
you know, that far into the transaction, it actually could be stopped there.
Absolutely. It's brutal. And worst of all is the legislation is a presumed guilty standard. In other words, the customs can stop it, can detain it. The importer of record, which I assume many of your members are, has to prove that it is not working against or not an illegal shipment based on U.S. forced labor rules. It's very, very heavy-handed. A lot of the rules have yet to be in place, as a matter of fact.
Third one would... Just to the levels of tariffs are quite high as well.
Exactly. Yeah, they're double digit, ranging somewhere, I think, if I understand it, if I have my notes somewhere. Anyways, they're somewhere between 10 and 25%.
Right.
And that's the imported price plus a lot of other fees. So yeah, it's quite substantial. The third one that a lot of your members have certainly heard about because it's been in the Canadian media and the media all over the world actually is the Inflation Reduction Act. That's the act that kind of encompassed or embraced Build Back Better, a lot of money, millions of dollars for U.S. infrastructure, U.S. manufacturing, both in terms of direct monies, but also tax credits, tax subsidies. Anything e-vehicle or e-part gets very favored treatment under the Inflation Reduction Act. But it is very, very complicated. And it is not only credits for the finished vehicle that is given to the consumer of the finished vehicle, i.e. I go out and buy an electric vehicle made by, you know, one of the OEMs or a truck, but it is also what is used in the manufacture of that truck or vehicle, the battery, the raw materials, the critical minerals. Congress passed it, the president signed it, I can't remember, I think it was December, and so in the law, Congress has told the administration, you must have proposed rules by March of 2023. No one here in Washington thinks that timeline is going to be attained because of the complexity not only of the details, but of the U.S. interests involved. Just to give you an idea, Don, of the complexity and the weirdness of all of this, the White House a few days ago issued I think it's like 10 or 12 pages of a guidance about what they think they're going to do to implement the Inflation Reduction Act. I'm just going to read you the title. It is so weird. The title is Anticipated Direction of Forthcoming Proposed Guidance on Critical Mineral and Battery Components for the New Clean Vehicle Credit. So I read that title and I almost jumped out the window. The fourth one would be Buy America, Buy American, more of the same, more of it. More audits on products and contracts that are subject to Buy America and Buy American. And the only thing that I would add here is for 2023 and beyond, because there's so much money from the Inflation Reduction Act, commercial fleets, but also public fleets are going to be a post office, FedEx, ambulances, fire engines, light and heavy duty trucks to work on infrastructure projects here in the U.S. Those will be the first to move in terms of the U.S. market for those kind of products. I would anticipate a lot of companies in the United States, a lot of customers are going to be looking for products that hopefully CTEA members make. The last is the USMCA CUSMA. This year, it'll be year three. What's important about year three is that there is a USMCA dispute panel on core parts. The ruling is not out yet. The trade media in Washington and probably in Canada have already reported that the U.S. lost their case against Canada and Mexico. Why does CTEA care? Because core parts, as they are defined under the USMCA, to be able to get a USMCA zero tariff includes lots of things that CTEA members make, including batteries and battery parts. So those are my top five.
Okay, fair enough. Now, you mentioned continued focus on China, and we talked at the top that 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 was a significant part of our of what we're going to discuss. And how will this be reflected in U.S. import activities?
U.S. Customs is on track to get a considerable expansion of their budget for 2023 and beyond. We'll see that soon introduced in the Hill. This will mean more audits, more requests for information from customs to companies who are importers of record, including many of your members, about, well, what is that product? How is it made? From where? What did you do to it? Et cetera. It includes, as I mentioned earlier, both finished and unfinished products. But I think the if I had two words to describe what is going to be ahead in terms of enforcement, it's supply chain, three words, supply chain transparency. U.S. Customs is going to be asking a whole lot more of importers, not only of their product, but their entire supply chain into that product that is brought into the U.S. So I think that's where we're heading.
And that could be tricky because of the documentation required, correct? Trying to go back through that whole chain and have the correct documentation to prove that you, and as you said before, you have to prove up front that that's the case, that it is.
Absolutely. Indeed. Yeah. And in many industries, there are transfer agents, there are sales agents, the level, the tiers in that production can go down four or five levels, and in foreign countries and in countries where the Canadian company or the U.S. import of record has no business relationship with. It's extremely important now to start thinking about your about a company's supply chain. It is no longer a question of what am I selling to the U.S. and how do I describe that product. It's everything that has happened to that product, and sometimes even who has touched that product before it even heads to the U.S.
I know that in something as simple as steel, bought, which is of course a commodity that our members require significant amounts of, they still don't require enough that they're buying direct from certain mills within the North American marketplace. They're buying from a distributor, and so trying to track down where that distributor is getting their products is going to be important. And getting that documentation, that necessary documentation.
That's an excellent example, Don, because let's not forget there are U.S. special tariffs on imports of steel. Canada and Mexico have been exempted, but you're absolutely right. If you can't prove that it's Canadian origin steel, then there's a problem. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Very good. Or not so good, but it's very important. You know, that's very very critical for our members to understand that. So what does all this mean for the CTA members in Canada? What is the Canada advantage? And what should company executives with an important U.S. market strategy do now?
Yeah, well, here's the good news. Now that I've been Debbie Downer for the last half hour, here's my more or less gloomy outlook. I think Canada and companies in Canada still enjoy a very high, excellent reputation here in the United States vis-a-vis their U.S. customers. I think to maintain that, and actually even to exploit it, given that there's more competition in the U.S. market over the last few years. But it's competition from countries which the United States has geopolitical issues with. I think the advantage for CTA members is that, A, as I mentioned, we have a very good brand. For the most part, U.S. Customs feels that imports from Canada have had a very high compliance rate with U.S. rules. But moving forward, given the five issues I mentioned, not only Buy America, Buy American, but the IRA, the forced labor, all of those issues, if a company in Canada can move quickly and soon to look inward into their operations, into their supply chain, and be able to track exactly what their supply chain road has been, even before CBP or anyone asks of it, or the U.S. customer might ask for it for a certain comfort level, the company in Canada will be way ahead of the game. And I know it's a headache. I know it's not easy, but the U.S. market is a very important one for CTA members, and there will be scrutiny. And get ready before it happens so you can respond to any inquiries, not only substantially, but quickly and in a timely manner. I think one of the things that we do a USMCA CUSMA diagnostic that just very quickly goes into a company, what's your important product that you sell to the U.S., and tell us about it, and we'll look at its implications of U.S. trade policy and trade regulations on that. It's a good marker that we do, but companies can do that on them by themselves as well. But for companies now, as we move into the 117th, it's organize a task force within your own company and establish a U.S. compliance office or program internally or with help from a service provider, and get ready to do some serious business here in the U.S.
Very good. And I guess what it comes down to also is that the existence of CUSMA, USMCA, gives us a good framework for you know, our trade between ourselves and the U.S. and Mexico.
Absolutely.
But it's not a slam dunk. It's something that it's going to take a lot of effort and a lot of legwork to make sure that it goes the way we hope it does.
And exactly.
Which leads us to the fact that we're going to have another webinar that'll be a little more in-depth, and we're going to cover the CUSMA USMCA issues that exist as it relates particularly to the Canadian and U.S. Relationship. That'll be on January 25th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And again, Bridget will be part of that along with at least one of her colleagues, if I'm
That's
not mistaken. Right.
Right? Yes. Yep.
And so that'll be a little bit more in depth. This in a way has scratched the surface. We're going to get a little more detail on some of the issues that we all shouldn't be aware of. So please to mark that in your calendar. There'll be more information coming through our newsletter, some other e-blasts over the next few weeks. Look forward to having everybody on that webinar. And it is free to members, so please sign up and let us know you're coming, and we look forward to having you there. I want to thank Bridget. Fantastic. As usual, it's always a pleasure having you with us, talking to us about these various issues. I know you and I have had even more discussions, and it's always a pleasure, and usually goes a lot longer than this. And I know we could spend a lot more time.
Thank you very, very much, Don. I appreciate it. And listen, all the best to your listeners for 2023.
You too. Happy New Year. You take care, and look forward to seeing you on the 25th. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to CTEA's On the Radar podcast. We'll have more engaging discussions and interviews in upcoming episodes. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you enjoyed this episode, please give us a review and a like, as that helps more people find us.